It's time for another GoldSeek.com radio episode. Today's featured guest, Arch Crawford from Crawford Perspectives. Arch Crawford combines technical analysis with the planetary alignments. Arch has been at the helm of Crawford Perspectives for several decades. Welcome back, Arch Crawford.
Delighted to be here. Thank you. We just saw a solar eclipse on September 1st, which was in negative or difficult aspect to three outer planets. We get the lunar side of it Friday, the lunar eclipse. We're having the lunar eclipse, and then we're having the FOMC announcement, and then we're having the station of Mercury. Now, it'll be going back forward, and I suspect we will have a dump before we get to that. So that'll be the 21st or 22nd. Now, the 21st, I think, 22nd is the fall equinox. I once did a study, I think it was from 1928 to 1992, down percent moves in the S&P and put them around the calendar dates. Two-thirds of the biggest down days occur in one-third of the calendar year, and that one-third is 4 months, and it's centered on the fall equinox. There are two ways to look at it. One is the ecliptic, plane of the ecliptic, which is the sun's apparent path, and the other is the equatorial, which is expansion of our own equator onto the stars. About the galactic center, I have done some studies with the passage of planets through that degree of the longitude versus the Dow Jones Industrial Average. For many, many years going back, tops and bottoms in the market with different planets at the galactic center. One year it'll be a little to the left, one year it'll be a little to the right, and another year it won't be anywhere close. And the average is exactly on the galactic center. I think it's close to, it may be different as different angles to the galactic center where we're out on the edge. That we are not going to measure. In any regular, even a nation's lifetime.
Exactly. So what you're really referring to here is when the planets are in a particular alignment with the galactic center. And of course, they revolve much more quickly than we do around the galaxy.
We get one shot of the sun, Venus, and Mercury for a year. Sometimes we get two with Mercury and Venus if they're retrograding. But usually it's one pass of the sun, usually one of Mars, but also that can happen that you get three, I guess. It has to be one or three. It goes through it, back across it, and then forward again. Rarely. But the general calculations were done on conjunction or the middle conjunction, I guess it was. I'm not sure. Mars would hit it conjunct every 2 years, and Jupiter every 12 years, and Saturn every 27 or 28 years. I measured Sun and Mars primarily.
All right, on the precious metals, which at least up until recently, the best in 30, 40 years from bear market lows. Do you think the bear market is in the rear view mirror?
Let me comment on the general market trends, because today is so important and this moment is so important. And then I'd love to go to gold. I love gold. All three of the major indices are holding at their November highs before it went down in January, February, and then came all the way back up and higher, and they're back down on top of those highs. Dow Jones came right back down to a moderately long-term trend line up from February and June, and it touched on it yesterday and bounced, and it has not yet broken that. On the S&P, it's not down near the trend line yet, but it did stop exactly on the November high yesterday and today. The NASDAQ 100 actually broke one trend line, and there is still another one a little further out. It's broken both of them yesterday, day before yesterday, I guess it was. And it bounced right up off of the 50-day moving average. I think it closed below it on Friday. Yesterday it went further down and then closed well above it. And today it is right back exactly on where the intermediate trend line meets the 50-day moving average on supporting it right this minute. But I think with the things that are coming up, I don't think the Fed is going to be able to stop things. They have their announcement, which I think it's next Wednesday, but that's when we get into Friday's lunar eclipse and the Mercury station and all these things. I don't think it's going to be a happy time.
You've made some great points, and I can see that on the charts. There have been many swoons in the past few years, and then we just recently hit a brand new high. Basically, all three indices, you can have sharp sell-offs all you want, but until the trend changes, the weekly and monthly trend, each sell-off is a buying opportunity.
You know, right last August before the sharp drop that was because of the Chinese markets, I've never done this in my 40 years of doing the newsletter. I said to the puts run out, the options run out on Friday. You can buy the puts for this week and let them run out on Friday, and I see a huge potential from the stars. I said, if you lose money, don't tell people online that I told you to do it. It took that dive, and there was a profit of 1,084 Dow points.
You know, that's one of the neat things about being a seller, is that you tend to be right quickly and you tend to be right in a big way. Basic mechanics of any bull market, sell-offs come abruptly and they're very powerful and forceful. The real money is always, in a bull market, is always made on the upside. So I wonder if you could give our listeners an idea of when you think the bottom, what signs they should be looking for.
On the front page of my newsletter, August 29, the September letter, I have the 52-week New York Stock Exchange new highs, 10-day average, and they were rising nicely, rising nicely, rising nicely, and they spiked up to the 13th of July, and since then they have dropped back sharply. So it was a spike up and then a loss, got up to the area where we've had significant intermediate highs going way back. I said, okay, go back 200% short ASAP on Monday the 29th of August. We have not yet broken significant support. We broke the minor support of the flat that it was making for the last month and a half, almost two months. We broke that flat, and as you say, that's not a real big deal unless it turns into something worse. And with the planet stuff coming up, the eclipse stuff coming up, none of the Dow Jones, the S&P, the NASDAQ 100 have closed below their trend lines going back to the February bottom. So the game is still afoot.
Conan Doyle. That's a good segue, I think, into another question I had for you today. It's an interesting rumor, but it's maybe a bit more than a rumor, circulating through the blogosphere about a meeting that took place actually just outside of New York by some really top folks. You might think of it as the Jekyll Island meeting from the early 1900s. The topicality involved the dollar eventually, or I should say interest rates in the U.S. eventually following the same course as that of the BOJ and the ECB to negative territory. Porter Stansberry, their service has this really written up quite well for listeners. I'll be sure and put a link up. An executive, I mean a really top executive from a big company that I just happened to bump into a couple of times this year, outside the gold industry, actuarial field, brought this to my attention. He said, you really need to tell your listeners, this is what people are anticipating. They're bracing for the Fed to do an about-face, shock everyone, and take rates negative, which would crush the dollar. Right now, it's the only go-to currency. And, of course, it would send the metals into orbit.
They're going to drop the rate.
Yeah, drop the rates into negative territory. The actual, the tangible rate, I mean, our FOMC benchmark overnight lending rate. So, and they're talking about instead of going to 0.75, or even if they do go to 0.75, it's going to be an abrupt turnaround in order to hold up the economy. And it might stem from circumstances surrounding November.
Well, the stuff online that I've been seeing coming across pretty steadily is saying September the 30th, which is the end of the fiscal year for the U.S., and there may be some very hostile back and forth between the Democrats and Republicans about the current administration to say what the rates are going to be for another 6 months. And the Republicans are not going, maybe they'll go, enough of them will go along with it to do it, maybe not. But I noticed that the 10-year rate right now is up exactly to a trend line off three highs in March, April, and May of this year. It's right there right now at 1.74, and that's been up from about 152 or 153. The long-term, intermediate to long-term, I had a chart in a letter a couple of months ago showing the 10-year rate for very long periods of time, and it's been in a steady downtrend for years, and even a very clear downtrend channel. And it has to go above 2.5 or 3.0 and then 3.0 to turn the long-term trend. So I'm saying that whatever they say, they're going to put us into negative in the next crisis. The Americans are not ready to accept that.
Think of the implications for the U.S. dollar to be essentially walked off the plank. The USS Fed, I mean, it would be game over. Inflation, people would be scurrying around trying to figure out what to do. Now, of course, I guess it would be bad news for the financials as well, which are really like that spread, you know, the differential between the real rate and the current interest rate.
They're up against resistance now on the rate, unless they do. The thing is, the planetary stuff is saying a surprise move is very possible or more possible than most months. But which way it will be is so mixed that I'm just as confused as everybody else. If they will raise it, if they'll lower it, try to shock the system in some other way. But, you know, I don't trust the Fed. You know, when the Depression was getting going pretty good, they did things that made it worse. And I think they were doing for the benefit of the big banks to take over the small banks. And they say, oh, well, we made a mistake then.
Arch, could you please tell people more about the precious metals sector? My guess is you have some interesting thoughts there.
In the newsletter, we bought gold at 258 on a Jupiter-Neptune trine in April of 2001. And we stayed long most of the way up to the tops, trading it off a couple of times and getting back in, but not a lot. We didn't trade it a lot. We stayed mostly long up to near the top, and we've stayed generally out of it since we went short twice. We went long twice and were quickly stopped out, and we have not liked it since until it broke up out of the long-term downtrend channel. And it did that around, I think, around 1245 or 1240 back in January, February. And we've been very positive about it since then. And, of course, it's still in a very solid uptrend on the intermediate level, although it has been sideways to slightly lower since early July. I think the early July high at 1377.50 is the high so far, and then we had a lower high in early August and a lower high in early September. We are trending lower, but it's in actually a triangle for the last 3 or 4 weeks. It needs to break up above, if it hits 1360 on the upside, it'll be very bullish. If it hits 1315, 1310 on the downside, it could be negative. I wouldn't like to see it break 1290 on the downside in particular. A lot of things are triangulating right now. The gold, the dollar, and the oil are all in triangle patterns.
I'm sure you're watching the CRB, which has shown
highs and the higher lows, yeah.
Not only that, but holding solidly above that 200-period moving average in the weekly chart. It just keeps holding that support, as is gold. Could be, I think, a positive current for precious metals.
Whatever troubles might be coming around September 30th, the battles over the debt ceiling and things like that, next year's budget, could drive gold higher. The technical account from after when it broke out from 1245 or somewhere around in there, my technical count was 1440, and I still think it'll make that.
It's been such a sharp advance. I think upward momentum could surprise folks, but I'm with you. I'd like to see a breakout, you know, above that 1377 and a solid close on a weekly basis. Any other topicality you'd like to leave with the listening audience?
In terms of difficulty with the elections, when the parties are particularly bitter, it's been bad for the stock market. And it hasn't been this time, and I think that's because the stock market has been manipulated upside by people trying to help very, very powerful Wall Street.
Several of our guests, such as Louis Navalier, have suggested that by keeping rates incredibly low, corporations can issue their debt at a very low cost and then purchase their shares, which have a very high dividend rate relative to the debt expense. A win-win-win scenario, gaming the system, putting up their shares, adding to their bottom line by having that rate differential between the bonds they've issued and the stock dividends they're receiving, then reducing the float, the shares outstanding, on the New York Stock Exchange. An excellent recipe for a runaway bull market to new highs. Please tell people more about Crawford Perspectives and how they can get in touch.
Well, they can Google Arch Crawford is the best, most simplest way to get to our website. You can put it crawfordperspectives.com, and that is a lot of letters. It's easy to get to, and there's a lot of interesting things on it, and this there'll be a link to this interview. And the other thing, we predicted beforehand, the week before, we said the U.S. will be at war around the end of the 7th or 8th of September 2001. That was quite a shock to people. I do not know of any other person or organization that had that prediction, except those guys that bought the airline puts, and we never heard what happened with them. Well, I know the guy that owned it, double the insurance 6 months before, and he had asbestos in the building up to about the 70th floor. That was going to be a difficult demolition. There was a big meeting in New York on it this last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, with all kinds of engineers, and Paul Craig Roberts was advertising it. He was speaking there.
Thank you so much for making time for us, sir.
Superb. Thank you.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the 8th largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves. Industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garnero, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank. And founding director, their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice. We'll be right back.